The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Both the Doyle and the people of Ireland were duped by Sinn Féin. That's according to Taoiseach Simon Harris, who also stated that the controversy facing the party would not be a factor in when he would call an election. However, the Taoiseach Micheál Martin told the Irish Times Inside Politics podcast yesterday that it was a fair and reasonable assumption that a general election could occur before Christmas. Joining me now to talk about all of this is broadcaster and co-host of the Path to Power podcast, Ivan Yates. Ivan, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, you want to go through Sinn Féin's troubles and how deep they are.
Okay. Well, there are four stories broken in the last 7 days. And if we deconstruct them, so Patricia Ryan resigns from Sinn Féin. Not only that, she's going to stand as an independent. Story there is, and there is actually a culture difference between Sinn Féin and all other parties. All other parties are really run by the parliamentary party, by the front bench. Sinn Féin is not run in that way. Some people say it's run over a pharmacy in West Belfast, but however it's run, the primacy of the TD. So she felt disrespected and she walked. Now, in that case, that's the Count Corda's constituency. It's a four-seater of South Kildare. In my opinion, Cathal Berry, Martin Hayden and Senator Fiona O'Loughlin are now likely to take those seats because in this case, Siobhan Ní Rathaoirí is a strong councillor and was challenging Patricia Ryan. She will be the candidate, but the likelihood is between Monaster Evan and Newbridge, they'll split the vote and that could cost them a seat. In Laois, in Brian Stanley, it's a much worse situation for the party because it's now a three-seater. And Brian Stanley, there isn't a Sinn Féin organisation as there is in South Kildare. There's one other councillor resigned and then there's Caroline Dwan Stanley, who is, of course, Brian's wife. And I think she will probably support her husband rather than the party. So they don't have an organisation. Brian made it on the water rates issue and had his own personal organisation as minded as well. And I think the likelihood is he's more likely. You have Councillor Aird for Fine Gael. You have Sean Fleming who topped the poll for Fianna Fáil. And I think Stanley is most likely, he's Portlaoise-based, he's most likely to hold on there.
Ivan, you know, you were talking about the path to power in your podcast. And the idea is that in order to, and we'll talk about Sinn Féin's numbers in a moment, but the path to power requires a certain number of basic Sinn Féin seats, then all sorts of odds and sods to combine to form a government. And you can rule out Brian Stanley, I reckon, supporting Sinn Féin in any endeavour, even though for 40 years he was a member of the party, such as the acrimony and animosity.
Yeah, and I think it's probably going to get a bit better for Stanley, because my sense of it is that the result of the Garda inquiry will be no file will be referred to the DPP, no charges will be pressed, and he will claim that as a victory. That's just my prediction of what's going to happen. On the point you raise of the arithmetic and how this plays out. So Sinn Féin had 37 seats. When I go through an enlarged Dáil of 14 extra seats, I struggle to get them below 30. So I actually don't think there's a wipeout situation. But the critical factor for them, their pathway to government in terms of leading a government, they would nearly need to have over 50% of the required figure, which for a bare majority is 88, probably 90. And so therefore they need to get in the mid-40s. And I think that boat has sailed for them, and this controversy has compounded that. So even if they get 30, the likelihood is they won't be able to form a government. They've no pathway to government. Whatever way you add up all the left-leaning TDs, it becomes impossible. And the one thing about Sinn Féin is they're not going to be coalescing with F or FG, whereas you could say Labour, Sock Dems would also be in the category and independence of potential replacements for the Greens. Just going on then to what I think is the most serious one is the Senator Niall O'Donnell. The difficulty is really around Mary Lou here, because even if you were sympathetic to Mary Lou, if you gave her a fair hearing, you have to conclude the statement she issued. So he basically was in difficulty with the party in September 23, but he formally resigned his Senate seat on the 21st of December 23, at which point Mary Lou issued a statement. And whatever way you read that statement, you know what I mean, there was no reference to the fact that he was actually sacked. That he didn't resign. And so therefore she praised his 8 years in the Shannon, she praised his role as Belfast City Council, the Mayor of Belfast, his role in the Good Friday Agreement and so on. That was at best disingenuous and at worst deliberate concealment. And that is a real problem for her.
Now, one way or the other, Ivan, she misled the Doyle. I mean, that's for sure.
No question about that.
Now,
no
normally,
and
if
she corrected that this week.
And that's usually the forgiveness. That's your penance. You publicly admit that you did a wrong, and then that kind of sets the record straight. However, I'm not sure that a belated penance like that, I mean, if you correct the record of the Doyle a couple of days after you've misled, that's one thing. When time has passed and more emerges as to the whole choreography of this, it's less forgivable, if you like.
Yeah, I would put it like this. It's deliberately misleading insofar as that he didn't resign. He was sacked. He was pushed out. And the reason for that was absolutely concealed. And I think there's no getting away from that, whether she gave him a glowing reference or not. There was deliberate concern. But let's be clear about this. In the 2020 election, all the Maria Cahill stuff was out there. It had no cut through with the electorate. And that's why I think the McGonagall thing, where it's quite clear, in my opinion, to go through the fact the HR manager for Sinn Féin was told in August 23 exactly what the story was by the British Heart Foundation. It is just not credible that the leadership did not know about it. It's just not credible. So, by the way, just on that bit of business of credulity,
you know, when Mary Lou says she was made aware there was an issue about Brian Stanley. Now, he's the chair of the PAC, big job in terms of the Parliament. And she did not express any curiosity as to the nature of the complaint. Now, do you find that credible?
Well, there's a couple of things about Mary Lou. And I try to be absolutely dispassionate about this because I sort of get the pile on. And my overall point is, Pat, we want to put this in perspective. This is an annus horribilis for Sinn Féin. They were looking at over 50 seats. But yesterday I walked from Merrion Square over to a meeting in the Custom House in the Department of Environment. And if you go by the flats in Lombard Street, in Shaw Street, you will see sticking up a tricolour. This would be the heartland. And the same in Finglas and Ballymun and Shaw McDermott Street. That would be heartland Sinn Féin working class. When you looked at those tricolours in 2020, it meant I'm a Shinner. What it now means is I'm almost a white supremacist, I'm anti-migrant coming here, and I regard Sinn Féin as traitors. The biggest fault line that Sinn Féin has is that its core vote, who really wouldn't be affected by anything in the media or Leinster House bubble, have absolutely hit a rock on the road on the racism front, on the migration front, and that is irreconcilable. And that's costing them 5%. The other thing that's destroyed them, which is nothing to do with the controversy, when she said a house in Dublin, Mary Lou, should be 300,000. Everyone who owned a house with a mortgage of more than 300,000 said to themselves, oh my God, they're going to devalue my house. And therefore they lost the middle class vote. And people who are kind of sympathetic to Sinn Féin and younger generations of people, when they see, oh, over 90 grand, I lose Help to Buy, I get nothing. So that class politics has re-emerged, and Sinn Féin at the recent Ardèche, all their promises were for people 45 grand and lower, you know, at the USC and so on. So they've decided that they don't want the middle class vote. So therefore, a seat like Chris Andrews could come into play, you know what I mean? And secondly, a lot of these second seats are problematic. But migration and the loss of middle class support is much more impactful on Sinn Féin's prospects than all of these controversies put together.
Now, Ivan, the difficulty that Mary Lou had, and I questioned her about this in an earlier interview, not a recent one, an earlier interview about the loss of support for Sinn Féin, and put it to other Sinn Féin members as well, that they had lost to, if you like, the far right movement, the basket of deplorables, if you like. And she said, no, that's not the reason for the fall in the polls, because they were kind of stuck. Here's the dilemma. Those people that maybe they lost to the far right, are they really the kind of people we want in our party? Do you know what I mean? She couldn't disavow them. If she disavowed them, then do you know what I mean? It's a contradiction she had to deal with.
It was a no-win situation. It was a cleft stick situation for them. And in her Ardèche speech, she doubled down that what she was against was not migrants, but actually racism. And she doubled down on all of that, which means that for the Malachy Steensons, the Gavin Peppers, and Coolock people, and people in Dublin Northwest, there is no, like, actually, when you hear them, they're more visceral against Sinn Féin than they are against Leo, which is quite remarkable. Mm. And the fact of the matter is that is not repairable. It's just a fissure that they can't get over. So looking forward, and I'm looking forward to talking to you, because we're now going to have this pre-Christmas election, which is interesting. I listened at 5 a.m. this morning to Micheál Martin's interview on the Inside Politics with the Irish Times, and to me, he's admitted what we all knew, that there was no way Fine Gael, after their last two experiences in 16 and 20, with shivering cold at the doorsteps, was going to have another February election. I think it's in Fianna Fáil's interest as well. They've the bounce from the budget, they've everything going for it, and the bonus, the icing on the cake, is Sinn Féin's woes. So, but actually the reality is everybody's out canvassing. If you try and talk to a TD, they're actually too busy canvassing. The election is already underway.
So that interview where he said, well, if others are kind of pressing, I would not rule out a pre-Christmas election. We originally thought that the date might be the 15th of November. Some of the smart money was on that, but that looks a bit premature.
Yeah, it seems the iron rule for Micheál is that all stages of the finance bill must be passed, which is not unreasonable, which sort of may move you. Now, it can be expedited. You know, you can guillotine a thing overnight, all stages of the Dáil. There's talk now of the 22nd, or more likely the 27th, and even some talk of the first Friday in December. But
that's Christmas party time. Can you imagine?
Well, put it... Well, Christmas cheer as well. You know what I mean? There is a bit of backslapping and everyone's in good form. Just on Mary Lou, one other point I wanted to make, Pat, which is this, that there is absolutely no threat to her leadership, because whatever the Ardchorlea or leadership structure is, north and south, she has done everything to comply with their requirements, and there's no... it's not like another party where you could have a backbench revolt. So that's not going to happen. So she will see out the election. But I think where she has gone wrong in her own thing is to question her people skills. Now, what went down so well in 2020, strident, challenging the established parties, that stridency has reflected maybe a lack of people skills in handling people. And the number of people, both at council and other levels, this showed up in the local elections, that actually just fell out of the party. The sort of HR management of, and it's something that sort of Micheál and others do well, to say, sure, look, we won't fall out about it. And we're all, you know, it's us against the world. She has lacked some of those empathetic people skills to keep her team together, like it's her way or the highway.
Okay, so,
and whether that's authoritarian or a lack of a people skill, I don't know. But it's coming across as almost arrogant.
Okay, what keeps her in her job? What kind of result in the general election keeps her in her job? Because listening to Piers Doherty out yesterday, defending both on RT and on News Talk, defending the situation about Niall O'Donnell and all the rest of it, it sounded like he was auditioning for the top job.
Well, first of all, everything goes in a cycle. So after the general election, it's like we're playing a game of pool. We do a re-rack after that. All bets are off. There's no question that Piers Doherty will challenge her in the short term, or anyone else. I actually think that Sinn Féin leaders are sort of appointed, anointed, rather than elected. Yeah. Like, it's more ratification with the Ardchorlea structure and so on, and the power base in the party. So I would say that Pierce is number one. But in a modern-day situation, you need a Dublin leader, in my opinion. a party that's looking to working class Dublin and urban Ireland, a Donegal leader. I saw this with Dick Spring. In a modern era, it's very hard. I think they'd like a female leader. You have a female leader. And I thought it was very interesting yesterday in the Dáil. Who is leading the charge against Mary Lou personally and talking about child protection? It was Holly Kearns and Ivana Betcher. It's the first time I've seen a smile on Labour faces since 2014. And they were gleeful about the whole situation. And there is a pathway, and I'll be discussing this in detail. I can see a pathway for Labour to get 12 seats and make no mistake about it. The preferred option of Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil is to replace the Greens with the Labour Party rather than independents.
Okay, just one thing that's coming into us now. Speaking in Brussels, the Taoiseach, Simon Harris, is saying he's going to talk with colleagues in due course when to call the election. Have a listen to this.
I want to see when is the right time, when the work that is underway is completed, when is there a proper space to have an election, and when is that time best for Ireland?
Okay, so it's no longer 2025 writ large. A final point, Ivan. You're talking about Friday elections, the 15th, 22nd, 29th, or whatever. You know, why Friday? I know it became the norm because of, you know, people going home for the weekend and so on. But don't forget that Thursday is the new Friday in remote working circles and so on. Does that change the calculation?
The actual date is set by Dara O'Brien, the Minister for Environment, and he has a choice between a 21-day campaign or a 28-day campaign that's set out in law. And he can actually go for a Thursday. There's nothing to stop him. And you know, it used to, back in my day, it was always held on a Thursday. So it is possible, but it seems that the perceived wisdom by those whose pay grade makes these decisions, that it will be on a Friday.
Ivan Yates, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.